ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय There's one verse I'd like to begin with about before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, but I can't remember the last line, so I'm not going to do that. So, Canto 4, chapter 31, text number 30 is on the board. Shishuku vacha iti anamyatam amantriya iti anamyatam amantriya viduro gajasavayam viduro gajasavayam sanam didikshu prayayau sanam didikshu prayayau gyatinam nivritashaya gyatinam nivritashaya Shishuku vacha. Shishuku Goswami said, iti, thus, anamya, offering obeisances, tam, unto Maitreya, amantriya, taking permission, viduraha, vidura, gajasavayam, the city of Astinapur, Sanam, own. Dridrikshu, desiring to see. Prayayau, left that place. Gyatinam, of his kinsmen. Nirvita ashaya, free from material desires. Translation. Shukadeva Goswami continued, Vidura thus offered obeisances unto the great sage Maitreya, and taking his permission, started for the city of Hastinapur to see his own kinsmen, although he had no material desires. Please repeat. Shukadeva Goswami continued, Vidura thus offered obeisances unto the great sage Maitreya, and taking his permission, started for the city of Hastinapur to see his own kinsmen, although he had no material desires. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. When a saintly person wants to see his kinsmen, he has no material desire to see them. He simply wants to give them some instructions so that they can benefit. Vidura belonged to the royal family of the Kauravas, and although he knew that all the family members were destroyed at the battle of Kurukshetra, he nonetheless wanted to see his elder brother, Dhritarashtra, to see if he could deliver Dhritarashtra from the clutches of Maya. When a great saintly person like Vidura sees his relatives, he desires only to deliver them from the clutches of Maya. Vidura thus offered his respectful obeisances to his spiritual master and departed for the city of Hastinapur, the kingdom of the Kauravas. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sari Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So, Hare Krishna, everyone. Just like to begin by seeking the blessings of all the assembled Vaishnavas so we can say something of value today. Okay, Hare Krishna. This part of the Bhagavatam, Narada is instructing the Pachetas. The Pachetas, they have just performed 10,000 years of austerities under the instruction of Lord Shiva. They have gone there to try and please Lord Vishnu by their austerities. And Lord Shiva, he has given them a mantra to chant, and they perform this nicely. And then Lord Vishnu, he's appeared, and by their pleasing their loving dealings with one another, and by performing these austerities, then he has said, now you may ask any benediction of me. And now the is coming to the conclusion of this pastime, where the prachetas, they've finished their activities, burning the trees, and they became angry when they came out of the water, because their father, Pachini Barhishat, he heard from Narada Muni. Narada Muni explained that you're in Maya, basically, and that meaning that he's falsely identifying with the body, with the material body, and that he's engaging in karmakanda activities to try to become elevated to the heavenly planets. So Narada Muni, he's preached or instructed the father of the Pachetas and said that you should give up this, these roles of being king and so on and so forth, and understand that the prime goal of life, the paramgati, is actually devotional service under the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Pachini Barhishat, then, having heard from the self-realized soul, he's immediately given up his position as the king, and he's gone to the forest. I forget which location he's actually gone to. You know the location. But he's gone and he's performed devotional service, and he's actually attained the same form as the Lord. And Prabhupada explains in the purport that he's achieved his Satchidananda Vigraha, is a eternal form of bliss and knowledge. So this is a self-realization. So the Prachetas, their father, the king, has left, and he's left in a hurry, and he's left some notes, what is it called, message with his ministers. You know, I don't know if anybody has one of those families, but they communicate with notes. You know, there's a note on the table saying, read the note on the fridge, you know, like this, you know, communicating like this. So this is kind of, you know, it's described in Kali Yuga, it's very difficult to actually keep a family together. And one who is able to do so is described as a hero, if he is able to keep a family together and children and keep a job like that. So he's communicated with his sons that... when you finish your austerities, he says, I want you to take care of the citizens, give protection to the citizens. That was his message. So then they've come out of the water, and then the trees, they've all overgrown because no one's in charge. They've been in there for such a long time. The trees have overgrown the planet, and then there can be no grains grown. And so they're very angry. So by their mystic power, by their during the austerities, then they're burning all the trees down. And Lord Brahma, seeing all this, Lord Brahma being the chief progenitor of the universe, the first being in the universe, he's seen this, and he said, no, my dear sons, it's not okay to be doing this. And he stopped them from doing that, and then pacified the Prachetas have been pacified by the daughter of two personalities, one sage and one heavenly damsel or heavenly society girl, one Apsara. And this girl, she was raised by the moon god. The trees couldn't look after her properly, so then the moon god he raised the girl, and she's a very nice character and so on. And so then she's been instructed to marry the Prachetas, to be the wife of the Prachetas. And then Prabhupada explains in the purport that ordinarily it's not okay for a woman to have more than one husband, but there's a few instances in history, like Queen Kunti with the Pandavas, Draupadi, sorry, Queen Draupadi. That wouldn't be right, would it? Queen Draupadi with the five Pandavas, and then in this case with the Pachetas also. So the Pachetas, then they've come out, they've done their austerity, and then they've been pacified. They have their wife, and they've given their a child, Daksha. Daksha has again taken birth, appeared again. This time in the family of the Kshatriyas, the Pachetas, as father, so he's dropped from the Brahminical class down to the Kshatriya class. He has a new human body, and he's being told to create population. And the Pachetas, they've finished their business, and they're just getting up to leave. So that's where we're at today. Is that fairly close to the point? So in the purport then, Srila Prabhupada, he's describing about Vidura. He's leaving now from his spiritual master. Maitreya's heard from him, and in a few verses previous, that he's had tears in his eyes, and he's experienced overwhelmed with ecstasy, having heard from his spiritual master, and then he's fixed the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his heart, and then he's gone out to give this knowledge to go and rescue other conditioned souls from the clutches of Maya. Prabhupada says, from the clutches of Maya. So by following in the footsteps of the Acharyas and hearing nicely from the self-realized souls, from the Tattva Darshibis, we can understand that there's that we're not this body. It's described in the Bhagavad Gita that knowledge is actually matter, spirit, and the controller of both. So we should thoroughly understand these subject matters. Krishna explains to Arjuna. Arjuna is actually in the same position that the majority of souls in the Kali Yuga are in. He was put under illusion by the grace of the Lord that he's put under illusion by the grace of the Lord into the bodily conception of life. And he sees on both sides of the battlefield of Kurukshetra, he sees that his uncle, his teacher, his friends, his brothers, they're all on both sides of the battlefield. So if one imagines at Christmas dinner, you know, we're having traditionally in the West, there's some Christmas dinner with kind of unspeakable items being digested, you know, but we don't go into that. But there's a Christmas dinner, a gathering at family time, a festive time to celebrate the Lord Jesus, his appearance. So this Christmas time, this meal, family get together, any family get together, it doesn't have to be Christmas, but any family get together. And then at some point, there's a line drawn down the table. And then it's said that if everybody on that side of the table, then now you have to kill them all. Then it would startle one like this. So this is basically more or less the position that Arjuna is actually in. He thinks, I'm this body. The other personalities on this battlefield, they're also their body. To kill them would be a very great sin like that. And it's described that Atmatattva, he does one course on the Bhagavad Gita, and he describes that the personalities on the battlefield, they were such high quality, such high class at the end of the Dwarpa Yuga. Everybody was sense controlled. I mean, you couldn't get on the battlefield unless you were VIP. You know, it was really nice. Everybody was very, very sense controlled. They had a lot of power. They were able to, because otherwise they couldn't, when they said mantras and released their astras, their weapons, then they would have no effect. So it was in their interest to control their senses and mind. Also, he describes that there was 64 million soldiers. Is that right? That number is right? 64 million? 64 million soldiers. How many? 640 million. Okay, so a lot of millions of soldiers, and they were there, and they arranged themselves. They were such high quality of soldiers that they were actually arranged themselves in things called phalanxes. in formations, you know, a certain number of elephants, horses, troops on horseback like this. And they arranged themselves that there was a snake formation and an eagle formation. And then if one could look from far enough away, he could see that the troops were moving in such a way like a snake would try to sting, you know, like a cobra would try to sting out like this. And then the bird was, you know, clawing at the snake, you know, and one could see that these millions of soldiers were moving in such a way. So this is very organized, you know. Anybody who's tried to organize people in Kali Yuga to try and do things together, then he will understand, you know, what a great feat this is, actually, you know, to have people, such discipline is there. Whereas in Kali Yuga, let's continue with Dwarpa Yuga. So Dwarpa Yuga, they're such high quality person. And like this, and so Arjuna, he's put forward so many arguments about why it's not a good idea to fight, you know. And he sits down in the chariot, he's lamenting, he's in the bodily conception. So we all have experience of this bodily conception. We look in the mirror, I am nice, like that, you know. We are seeing today, oh, you know, it doesn't matter what type of body one has, you know, he will think that is nice. Because the self is very dear. The self is dear because it is part and parcel of Krishna. Krishna describes Dehino Sminyatare He Kalmaram Yovanam Jara Tatare Hantara Praptir Dhiras Tatra Namuyati. So as the embodied soul continuously passes in this body from boyhood to youth to old age, the soul similarly passes into another body at the time of death. And a sober person, one who is dhira, is not bewildered by such a change. So this is the point. We have to become dhira. Krishna, he speaks in Bhagavad Gita, he tries several different angles to convince Arjuna that he's not the body. He's saying this body is just like a dress, just like some clothing. And as one gives up items of clothing, then similarly he's giving up material bodies and accepting new ones. So like this, according to one's past works and desires, then he will get a new material body. This is called karma. So Arjuna, he's gradually brought up to the platform of knowledge by hearing from his spiritual master Krishna that he's actually a soul, and his body is that of a kshatriya. His body he should use in Krishna's service. And Krishna is explaining to Arjuna that this is the real essence. Arjuna said, should I go to meditate in the forest and become peaceful? And Krishna said, no, because then you would try to repress the nature that you have. You know, your nature is to be a kshatriya, to uphold religious principles, even if that requires violence. So, you know, if he was to go to the forest and try to meditate, then, you know, he is meditating, and then gets up to go and get some roots or something, and then somebody has taken his meditation space, you know, and then he takes his head off, and the other yogis are complaining that they're finding bodies of yogis all over the place, and maybe he should leave, and like this, you know. So it wouldn't have worked. This process of Krishna consciousness that Srila Prabhupada has brought us is about using, he explains that this body is a bad bargain, and we should make the best use of a bad bargain by engaging our senses and our mind in the service of Krishna. And it begins with hearing. By hearing, by associating with the devotees, we can develop some shraddha, some faith. And we may take up one of the processes of devotional service. We may engage in some service. Usually people begin by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. By hearing this sound, the spiritual sound vibration, Seva Mukhe Hi Jiva Dao, the spiritual, the process of spiritual realization begins with the tongue. through chanting Hare Krishna and taking of spiritual foodstuffs, ordinary foodstuffs offered to Krishna, which then become spiritualized. Then the tongue becomes starts to become purified. The ears are become the subtle senses are becoming purified. And I was listening to one lecture, the Nectar Devotion series. Srila Prabhupada explains that Krishna, because he is fully spiritual, he's Satchidananda Vigraha, he cannot be served by matter. So whenever the living entity, in its conditioned state, is seated within the heart of the body, is 1/10,000th of a tip of a hair in size, it's seated in the material body, and it spreads its energy throughout the body as consciousness. Jyotir Prabhupada gives the example in the Bhagavad Gita that just as the sun in the universe, it spreads its heat and light throughout the universe, and similarly the soul seated within the heart, it spreads its energy throughout the body as consciousness. Thus, whenever one is pinched on any part of his body, then he can feel. But if the soul is to leave the body, then one can cut and chop the skin and nobody will protest, he says like that. So the soul seated within the body is presently has different coverings of false ego, intelligence, mind, and then these different material coverings, earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego. So we have a gross material body and then the subtle material body. But Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he describes the gross body, the earth, water, fire, air, ether, as solids. You know, we can look at the periodic table of elements, the solids, liquids, gases, radiant energy or heat, and space. So I like that definition. It's solids, liquids, gases, radiant energy, heat, and space. So that's what this gross material body, this bag, it's a bag of skins and muscles and so on like that. That's what this is made of. And then if one is identifying with this bag of kapha pitta vayu as the self, then he's considered no better than an ass, sa eva gokura. So he likes that. So the point being, we come to the human platform. Although we may have human form of life, it begins by atato brahma jigyasa, by inquiry into the nature of Brahman or into the nature of the soul and its relationship with Krishna. So we have some shraddha, we engage, we begin the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, we take prasadam, perhaps serve some of the devotees, and then from shraddha, then we have sadhu sangha, we engage more seriously in the association of devotees, we begin to see the difference between the devotees of the Lord, those who are envious or don't like devotional service, the neutral and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We can see the difference between these four categories. And then bhajana kriya, whenever one becomes serious and he becomes convinced of the transcendental nature of devotional service, then he begins to seek out a spiritual master, one who is tattva-darshibi, who is, Krishna explains in the fourth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, that one should try to learn the truth. I'll just read the exact. Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master, inquire from him submissively, and render service unto him. The self-realized souls can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. So the self-realized souls, they can impart knowledge because they have realized that knowledge. So Vidura, he's actually approached Maitreya and he's inquiring from him submissively about the truth. So Maitreya is the Tattva-darshibi, and Vidura, he's inquiring from him and he's hearing submissively. So this humility should be there, that actually the example is given that the living entities in this material world, they are actually in the prison house. We're actually in the prison house of the Lord's creation, the spiritual world being, or the so-called spiritual realm being 3/4 of the creation and 1/4 being the material, the so-called material creation. Within that material creation, there are innumerable universes. Lord Chaitanya uses the example that the amount of universes are considered to be like a bucket of mustard seeds, and then this particular universe that we are in is one mustard seed. And this universe, we cannot measure how many stars or planets are actually in this particular universe. So we're in this universe, and then out of all the millions, perhaps billions of planets and stars in this universe, there's one planet called Earth. And on this planet Earth, then there's seven continents, and one of them is called Europe. And then we have in that continent of Europe, then there's a country called Belgium, a region known as the Ardennes region, and one temple called the Radadesh temple. And we're in the temple room of that temple, and still sitting on the floor then is this body, and then within that body is the living entity, is the Jivatma. So we're sitting, so we're actually very tiny, you know, we're very tiny. And but we are here because of this desire to lord it over material nature. So this ahankar is what's stopping us from acting on our real constitutional position as a servant of Shishi Radha and Krishna. So one ISKCON guru, Guru Maharaj, he says this ahankar, he makes the joke of a hum car. That whenever people they are driving around in their vehicle, and they're thinking that I am Mercedes, you know, I'm very nice, and that, you know, they say is it Tella? They say for the people who are carrying the tea, Tella, hey Tella, out of the way. What's his name? The person with the tea, you know? He has rickshaw, or is it Tella? Is that the right term? Tala, hey Tala, you know, like he is saying, hey, out of, you know, he's honking the horn, he's saying, hey Tala, as if this person has become the rickshaw like that, and he is thinking he is Mercedes like that. So the whatever type of body, the body and the driver, they are different, but we have this material body, and we are one is falsely, when one falsely identifies with this body, then he thinks that anything in relation to this body is mine, these are my relatives, just like Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita. He is thinking that the soldiers on both sides, it's an uncle, we are all related, you know. But actually the different elements that this body is made of, whenever the soul leaves the body, then the body, the elements will just dissolve and go again into the earth. So it's described that the living entities, they come together in a family, they come together in society and so on, like straws in a stream, they come together for some time, and then after some time the current changes, and again the living entities, they split apart like that, our family split apart. The only relationship which actually endures is that between the living entity and Krishna. He describes that there's no loss or diminution in this process, and that any little advancement can save one from the greatest danger. Which, what is that greatest type of fear? Is to go down to the lower species of life. So we saw the allegorical story of Narada Muni last a couple of chapters ago, and he was describing about King Paranjan living within the body in the city of nine gates. And how his intelligence was the queen, and so on and so forth, this allegory. And that by meditating on the female form, by becoming attached to his wife, he actually took the form of a woman in his next life. So whatever state of being one remembers at that state, at the time of death, he will attain without fail. So if we're attached to this bodily conception of life, or if we have so many plans, so many material desires, then we will get, you know, if we like to eat whatever we want, or including flesh and of animals and different things like this, then one will get a body so that he can carry out his material desires. This is Prabhupada describes this as the kindness of the Lord, that He's actually given a body with which he can fulfill his desires. But we should give one should give up this pursuit of material desires and just accept that he has this material body. It's temporary. It's a changing material body. And the human form of life is very short. And that the goal of life is actually to become self-realized, to realize his relationship with Krishna and engage in his devotional service. So I think I'll I have more to say, but I think I'll stop now. Or maybe say something about Prabhupada. Okay, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, Hare Krishna. Are there any questions? Any questions, comments, corrections, rotten tomatoes? No? Okay, thank you very much, Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Bhagavatam, ki jai, Srila Prabhupada, ki jai, Gaur Premanande, Hare Bol.